morning. It's a privilege to be with you. It's a privilege to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to you. And I pray that God the Holy Spirit will be with us and bless us with His presence. What good is it if we do this ourselves? No good. We need Him. I need Him and you need Him. And I pray that God would bless us this morning. If you'll take your Bibles and turn with me to Mark. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. We're looking together at verses 15 through 18. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. And he said unto them, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I've entitled this message this morning, The Great Commission. The Great Commission. By way of introduction, I want us to know this. I'm sure that everyone of you are aware of the dark times we are living in. We're living in a time of uncertainty. It appears that our republic, our country, seems to be on the brink of being transformed by the hands of wicked men. I know this causes great anxiety in the hearts of many believers. And I know our first instinct is to try to win the government back. That's our first instinct. That's the natural man in us. Some men will even seek violence in order to change leadership, but I believe this is an error, a great error in the church, a great error for those of us who are believers in Christ to try to change the hearts and minds of men through political means. That's not our commission. That's not what we are here for. Those who profess to believe in Jesus Christ over the years have spent much time, effort, money, in order to make converts to a political affiliation. That is not what the church is here for. We're not here to change governments. Many have tried to change the evils of abortion, homosexuality, adultery, and fornication through government reform. And we know that that has failed miserably. Matter of fact, the opposite has happened, hasn't it? It's only increased it. Why? Because the means by which hearts and minds of men are changed are not by political or legal means. The only way men and women are changed is through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what our Lord tells us. This is the answer to our anxiety, to our troubles. Go you into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel to every creature. Yes, do your civic duty, but the power of government belongs into whose hands? God's hands. God lifts up kingdoms and He puts them down at His pleasure, at His will. So what then are the servants of Jesus Christ to do? What are we here in this world to do? We have one purpose. You who are believers in Jesus Christ, you have one purpose. Preach the word. Preach the gospel. This is what is known as the Great Commission. This is the command of our King. The business of our church is not to influence governments or change them. Our purpose is not to entertain people on the road to hell. Our purpose is not to be happy, healthy, and wealthy in this world. Our purpose is simple. It is one purpose. I like that, so it's not confusing. You give us two things to do and we might be confused. Christ gave us one thing. Preach the gospel to every creature. Our hearts, our minds, our bodies as believers in Christ should be engaged in this one purpose. Have you ever considered why missionaries leave their homes, their possessions, their families, and hazard their lives on foreign soil? Why do we spend so much money and labor to preach the gospel around the world via the internet or television or radio? We spend a lot of money, a lot of labor to do this. Why do we do this? Why do we as believers make great financial sacrifices at the point of even denying ourselves for the furtherance of the gospel? Why do we do this? Because this is our commission. This is what our Lord gave us to do. Preach the gospel. This is because of our text. The furtherance of the gospel is the command of our Savior. And listen, is this not the desire of your heart? When you go out into the world and you see lost men, is it not our desire that they be converted? Is it not our desire that they believe on Christ and be saved? It is. And the means by which this takes place is by the preaching of the gospel. And so these words of our Lord, they are His final words before He ascended into heaven to be seen physically and heard verbally no more. He gives us this last command. Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And believers in Jesus Christ, this is our privilege and our responsibility. You who claim to serve the King, you who claim to be His servants, this is our responsibility and privilege. Our Lord commands that this gospel not be isolated or kept to ourselves, but that it should go throughout the world. And the effect of preaching of the gospel is always, for this purpose, the glory of Christ and the calling of the elect. That's the purpose of our preaching the gospel. Now, I have four things in this text, and I don't know if I'm going to get through all of them, but I'm going to get through as many as I can. I got four things here that we can see from this text this morning. First of all, I want us to see this great commission. Secondly, we're going to see the great call of this commission. We're going to see the gospel confession of those that believe this call. And we're going to see a gracious confirmation, a gracious God confirms those who believe by these miracles here. Now, look at this first, the Great Commission. Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I'm sad to say that I believe few really understand the meaning of this or even grasp the importance and urgency of this call. It is an urgent thing to preach the word. It is an urgent thing. It is a great, it is called the Great Commission. It's called the Great Commission simply because it's only one, the Great Commission. And secondly, it's a great commission. It's great. It's great because it's not weak. It's not powerless. It's not foolish like the world believes it to be. Why do you suppose people do not avail themselves to the preaching of the gospel? It's because they believe it to be powerless, foolishness. But unto us who believe, we know this: it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So it is a great commission. Now, this commission is given to us, first of all, because of a great need. There is a great need. What is this great need? Well, let's consider the greatness of our commission in relationship to the need. If we don't see the greatness of the need, we're not going to be able to see the greatness and urgency of our calling. There is a great need. And what is that? The greatness of the need is all men by nature are lost and under the wrath of God. If you're here today without Christ, I'm going to tell you something urgent. You are under the wrath of God. You're under the condemnation of God. And if you fall into death without Christ, you will die eternally. That's a need, friends. That is an urgent need. Men by nature, man, when our father Adam sinned, all of his race was ruined. All of his race by nature became dead in trespasses and sins. All men are lost without Christ, without God, without hope, and utterly ignorant of God and His righteousness. That's a need. If you don't see that need, then you'll never see the greatness of your commission. It is an urgent need. Now, you can go anywhere in the world you want to, and you're going to find this truth. Man by nature is depraved. You can go to Africa, and you can see depravity. You can go down to Harrodsburg, and you can see depravity. You can go to Lexington and see depravity. You can go to Louisville, go to Indianapolis, go to Indiana. You can see what? Depravity. Man by nature is depraved. All of those who have not believed on the Son of God, because of this, you are under the wrath of God. And listen, no amount of religion, no amount of works is going to save you. This is the need, friends, and it is an urgent need. It's a great need. Our Lord commands us then to preach what? A great message. There's a great need. This great commission has a great need, but there is a great message. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our Lord commands us to preach, look at your text, the gospel. The gospel. This is the purpose and work of the church in this world. Now, I know this. The church is not to neglect the poor. We're not to neglect men if they have need of food, if they have need of clothes, if they have need of shelter. We, as God's people, are to be compassionate above all men. James says, what good is it say to a man who has need of food, be warmed and filled, and not give him food? No, the church is for that. We do that. But that's not our commission. That's not our commission. Our commission is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because food and clothing are important. But listen, they're temporal. I give a man a piece of bread, he's going to need another piece of bread because that piece of bread just ain't enough. But I'm here to tell you something. The gospel is great because it deals with matters that are eternal. It deals with men's souls, with righteousness, sin, and judgment, eternal spiritual matters. Now, there are many antichrists going out into the world preaching a false gospel that's not of God. A gospel that cannot save, and that is the gospel of free will works religion. That gospel has gone out. He's preached that salvation is in some measure the work of God and some measure the work of man. That's not our gospel. That's not our gospel. Matter of fact, Paul tells us in Galatians that there is only one gospel, doesn't he? He told those Galatians who were being taught, they were being taught that Jesus Christ, faith in Christ, plus circumcision is salvation. And what did Paul say? He said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from Him who hath called you called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel, which is not another. Our commission is to preach the gospel, the only gospel, which is what? Salvation by grace through faith in Christ alone. That is the gospel. That is the gospel. And I'll tell you this morning, if I just tell you to preach the gospel, but I'm not going to preach the gospel to you, I'd be not doing my commission. So what I'm going to do now is simply preach this gospel to you. I'm going to preach it to you because it's the gospel you love if you believe. And listen, if you're lost, it's the gospel you need. It's the gospel you need. Here is the gospel. All men by nature are totally depraved. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. Man by nature is ruined by the fall. That is, from the top of his head to the bottom of his foot, everyone that is born into this world is full of sin and empty of righteousness. That's what it is to be totally depraved. Go over to Isaiah chapter 1. Look at what Isaiah says about this. Isaiah chapter 1. He says in verse 4, "Ah, sinful nation, people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger. They are gone away backwards. Why should you be stricken more and more? You will revolt more and more. Why? The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up nor mollified with ointment." What is this saying? You by nature and me by nature, we are laden with sin. Laden heavy with chains of sin. We have forsaken God and turned backwards. We cannot be saved by law. He said, why should you be stricken more and more? The law strickens a man. The law beats a man. But he says, why should you be beaten? You'll only revolt more. The law cannot save you. The law only incites sin that's in you. It can't help. Why? Because from the top to the bottom, you are full of sin. Listen, anybody that doesn't preach that is not preaching the gospel. Now listen, man is so depraved that I can preach this morning the forgiveness of sin. Complete pardon. Absolute forgiveness. I can preach a message, and I'm going to, that you can be made as holy as God. And yet, why will men not come? Why will they not believe? Because they can't. They don't want to, that's for sure. But they don't want to because they're unable. And they're unable because they don't want to. Man is totally depraved. Jesus said, no man can come unto me, what? Except the Father which has sent me draw him. Total depravity is the gospel. It is the gospel. Anybody who preaches anything else is not preaching the gospel. Secondly, this. We preach the unconditional election of God the Father. We plainly declare unto you that God the Father, before the foundation of the world, chose a people. God the Father decreed the salvation of a people. He set His love on them, and in a covenant of grace, He put them in union with His Son and promised to make them holy. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. This is the gospel. Some people say, well, don't, you know, you shouldn't be preaching election to the lost. I'm sorry, this is chapter 1 of Ephesians, and the apostle's going to do it right off the bat, so I will too. Look what Paul said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us." Who is the us? He reveals that in chapter 2, those that were quickened by the Spirit of God. That's who the us is. He blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according as he hath chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. For what purpose were we chosen? That we should be made holy and without blame before God. In love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, here is how he's going to do it. By Jesus Christ. That's how he's going to do it. For this purpose to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. We preach that man by nature is totally depraved, but we have a great message in that God before sin chose a people to save. That's just good news. Had God not chosen a people before sin, there would be no one saved after. Isn't that what Isaiah says in that same passage in Isaiah chapter 1? He said, had not God left a remnant, we would have all been like Sodom and Gomorrah. The only hope for sinners is the election of grace. The election of grace. And this election was not based on any thing the elect could do. It is unconditional. Go to Romans chapter 9. See the unconditional election of grace here. Displayed in these two men, this picture of Jacob and Esau. Romans chapter 9. Look at verse 11. For the children not yet being born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It said to her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Behold then the grace of God, that God should save some of Adam's race. I know this, the Arminian believes that God must save. That somehow that they're worthy. And that God is obligated. He's not obligated to you. God saves whomsoever he will. And this purpose, he purposed in himself before the world began, like it or not. And this purpose is this. He chose us not based on anything in us. And that's good, because why? We're totally depraved. There's nothing good in us. Therefore, the only hope for us is of this unconditional election of grace. And thirdly, we preach this, not only the depravity of man, the unconditional election, but we preach this, the perfect, accomplished, and effectual redemption of Christ. The perfect, accomplished, effectual, powerful redemption of Christ. This is the heart of the gospel. This is the heart and soul of the gospel here, that Christ Jesus, the Son of God, was made the mediator, the high priest, and the surety of all the elect before the foundation of the world. When we read that in Ephesians, it says that we were in Christ. What does that mean? We were put into union with Christ by God. He became our surety. That means the one that guarantees, the one that is responsible for our salvation. Isn't that good? You that are saved, I know you like this. He's responsible for my salvation, not me. 100% all on him. This is what he has been given as the mediator, as the high priest. He is the representative of all the children of God. As Adam was our representative, and what happened? We all died. Even so, Christ is the representative of the elect, and in him, what? All live. All live. And so when Jesus was here, he came fulfilling the law of God as a man. He condescended to become a man so that he should represent us. And as a representative, he accomplished the law of God perfect. He satisfied all of the demands of the law perfectly. He said, thus it behooves us to fulfill the law, to fulfill righteousness. And that's what he came to do. I liked it when those men tried to accuse him. He said, which of you convinces me of sin? We can't say that. Can we say that? You watch me just a second, you'll find sin in me. They watched him for 33 years and found nothing in him. He said, the prince of this world hath found nothing in me. Satan couldn't find anything in him. Men couldn't. Why? He was perfect. He was the Son of God and the Son of Man, fulfilling righteousness on the behalf of his people. And not only did he fulfill perfect righteousness, but he also accomplished perfect redemption. Oh, friends, God is just. God is just. He must punish sin, even the sins of his elect. See, the elect, their sins were not swept under the rug. Our sins were not swept under the rug. They were fully paid. The wrath of God was fully satisfied for our sins. Where? When he hung on the tree in our stead. Behold him there. Behold the Son of God. It was there that God made him to be sin for us. Oh, love. Made him who knew no sin to be sin. I can't fully plumb the depths of what that means. But I know this. He bore our guilt. And when God saw his Son bearing my sin, he killed him without mercy. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Christ, even being made sin, he still knew no sin. Felt no sin, thought no sin, and yet in the same place he was made sin. Why? That we, the elect, those of his people, should be made the righteousness of God. Get a hold of that. You, believer, because of his perfect redemption, are made the righteousness of God. God, not in you, in him, by your union with him, by his work of grace in you, you're made righteous before God. And I want you to know this, he actually redeemed you. False gospel says this. He made redemption possible for everyone. Lie. If he made it possible for everyone, he also made it possible for no one. No. That's not my Christ. That's not the gospel I preach. I preach a successful Savior. He did redeem his people. Isn't that what the angel said at the beginning? You shall call his name Jehovah Saves. Now, why are you going to call him that? Because he actually saves. Who? His people from their sins. He shall save, without a doubt, he shall save his people from their sins. And when Christ died, what were his words? It is finished. It is finished. That's a great message. Now, if you've got a great need, that's a great message. If you've got a great need of forgiveness and pardon of sins and redemption, that's the message you need to hear. Christ accomplished redemption. We also preach this. We preach the effectual regeneration of the Holy Spirit. That's what we preach. This is our gospel, that man is totally depraved. God, by sovereign grace, chose a people. Christ actually redeemed those people perfectly. And in time, the Holy Spirit will come to every elect sinner. He will not miss one. He will come to everyone the Father chose, everyone the Spirit called, everyone the Son redeemed. The Spirit will call to life and faith in Christ. Everyone. No one will be missed. Now what the Lord says? He said, of all that the Father hath given me, I should lose how many? How many will he lose? Not one. Nothing. False gospel, he loses people. Well, that's a false Christ. That's a false Christ. Christ does not lose one of his people. Why? Because the Spirit has a work, and that is the effectual call of grace. It means that all that the elect and redeemed will come. And Jesus said that in that same passage in John chapter 6, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me, you listen, shall come to me. Now, does that sound shady? That sound doubtful to you? Are his words like our words? You know, this morning I called Buddy and I said, you know, I'm on my way, and I thought in my mind, Lord willing. Lord willing, I get here. I want to be here. I want to preach this message to you. Lord willing. Why? I can't be sure that I'm going to make it. But Christ never spoke like that. He said, they shall come to me. And what is he going to do? And when they come, I won't cast them out. What a wonderful thing to someone who has a need. You have a need? Then come. If you can, come. Come to Christ. He won't cast you out if you come. Why? He said, because I purposed you to come. Purposed you to come. And so then we preach the gospel in the Spirit of God. At the appointed time, he comes and he calls them and gives them a new nature. A new nature. You that believe in Christ, you are people of two natures. That old nature of sin that still hangs about your neck like a rotting corpse. And a new nature that cannot sin. It's an amazing thing. Scripture says that which is created in us is after God in true holiness and new nature. John says, he that is born of God sinneth not. How can that be? Well, because my new nature doesn't sin. My old nature can't do anything but sin. And what's the result then? Warfare. Constant warfare. This morning you're sitting there and you're fighting. I know you are. Why? You got that old corpse about your neck. But it's the Spirit of God that gives us this new nature. But what does he use? What does the Spirit of God use? What's the instrument by which the Spirit of God calls and effectually quickens the dead sinner? Well, that's where we go back to our text. Go you into all the world and preach the gospel. We've showed you what the gospel is. Now then, what's the means by which this salvation comes? Through the preaching of the gospel. It is the great means. Now, preaching is the great means only because it was ordained of God. Ordained of God. I know that all men by nature know there's a God. I don't spend much time dealing with atheists. They're liars. They kick against their own conscience. They know there's a God. I don't have to spend time trying to prove there's a God. And even if I do prove there is a God to them, that won't save them. Now, all men know there's a God. They know this by creation. They know it by conscience. The law of God written in their hearts, they know this to be true. You read Romans chapter 1 and 2 and see that very plainly. No one's converted by the light of creation, but God has ordained the salvation of sinners come only by the preaching of the gospel. I want you to pay close attention why this Great Commission is necessary. No one is saved apart from the preaching of the gospel. No one is saved. I read a little article of Daniel Parks. He said a man came to him and says that he didn't believe that preaching was the only means by which sinners are converted. My sinners are saved. And he said, okay, would you find one example in the Word of God? And he said, Abraham. He said, Abraham was over there in the Ur of the Chaldees, and he believed without a preacher. And he said, no, that's not true. Remember, it was God who preached to Abraham. No one in this book is ever converted without the preaching of the gospel, without someone being sent. Christ was sent to Adam and Eve. And what did he do? He preached the gospel to them. This is the seed of the woman shall crush the head of the serpent. And I don't say this because it's my opinion. I'm going to just read this to you. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 and 2. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and wherein you stand. Listen, by which also you are saved. You see, our commission is great because no one is saved apart from hearing the word. Faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Not just hearing anything. Hearing that gospel that I just preached to you. That is the means by which God saves sinners. The preaching of Jesus Christ and Him crucified is the means. Now there's nothing in the preacher. There's nothing in me. As I said before, I prepared this message, but there's nothing in my preparation that's going to save anyone. There's no power in my preparation. There's no power in my speaking. There's no power in your hearing. Except what? The Spirit of God take the word and apply it to you. Effectually, powerfully apply it. And this is what God has chosen. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, it says, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Why? Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Here's the means. Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Well, how is one sanctified of the Spirit and believe in the truth? Verse 14, whereunto He called you by our gospel. That's how. The Spirit always uses preaching. What does the world think of preaching? What does the world think? Paul says, those that perish think preaching is foolishness. What is preaching to you? But unto us, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. It's the power of God. This is our commission. This is your commission. This is my commission. Preach this gospel to who? Everyone. Everyone. It is a great commission. It is our only commission. And I'll tell you this, when this gospel goes out, it's not only a great commission, it's a great call. Look at verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. The effectual call of the Holy Spirit is always irresistible. No man can ever perform this work. Yet this effectual call and irresistible grace of the Holy Spirit comes to the elect and redeemed sinner only through the preaching of the gospel. Now, this morning, I tell all of you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Who did not hear me? Now then, who did not understand me? That's very simple, isn't it? What was the command of given to Moses when they were bitten by the serpents? Look and live. That was the command. Look and live. And everyone that looked, lived. Can you not understand those words? Look to Christ by faith and live. It's a general call. It applies to everyone. You know, I know this. God's only going to save the elect. I do know that. He's only going to save those that He saved at Calvary by the effectual work of Christ. I know that. I know this. Only those that the Spirit of God quickens will believe. I know that. But one thing I don't know is who the elect are. Do you? How many times have you even questioned your own self? Much less look at another person and say, well, there's one and that's not one, and this is one and that's not one. No. We can't do that. So this is why God makes it a general call. I say to everyone, whosoever will. Whosoever will. I believe Christ died for whosoever will. I don't believe He died for whosoever won't. I believe He died for whosoever will. Believe, and you shall be saved. That's the promise of the text. And he that believeth and is baptized, what? Shall be saved. Shall be saved. That's a promise of God, isn't it? He shall be saved. Without a doubt, he shall be saved. I tell you this. Do you desire to know if you are one of these elect? Only God's going to save the elect. Only those that are redeemed. How do you know if you've been called by the Spirit of God? Here's the question. Do you believe on the Son of God? Faith is the only evidence of this. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. What is this baptism? Baptism is the gospel confession. That's what that is. It is a gospel confession. He that believeth and is baptized. You notice that baptism in this statement is second, right? Baptism is only for those who believe. If you believe, then you will obey. Because baptism is a command, isn't it? And so baptism, you that are being baptized today, you are doing it as an act of obedience because you believe. We keep kidding about Johnny and me being able to get him up out of the water today. You know, he's a big guy. And I said, well, if I get him out of the water, good. If I don't, he'll just go home. He's fine. He's saved before he got in the water. He'll be fine. Either way. You see, baptism has nothing to do with salvation. It has everything to do with obedience. And so what do? When we believe, we're baptized. And what is baptism? Baptism is a confession. It's a confession. It's a confession of this, that you identify with Jesus Christ. You identify with Him. Your confession is, you're confessing the gospel that I just preached. That you are one with Christ. You identify with His life, with His death, with His burial, and with His resurrection according to the Scriptures. And as you go down into the water, what are you saying? When He went down into the grave, I went with Him. When He died, I died. When He was buried, I was buried. When He rose again, I rose again. And as we come up out of the water, what are we confessing? I follow Him. He's my God. Christ is my God. Jesus is my King. That's what you confess today. It is a public confession of faith. Now, did it have anything to do with your salvation? Not one bit. Not one bit. But you do it because you want to be identified with you. I want everyone to know who I serve, who I love, who I believe. And that's what baptism is. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, you listen to this. There's also a warning when we preach this gospel. He that believeth not shall be damned. When a man dies without faith in Christ, I want you to know this, it is eternal damnation. Spurgeon said, "There, it is as though that these words were written in iron above the gates of hell, and they are new every morning. When man goes to hell, he sees those words, 'shall be damned.' And 10,000 years later, the words are just as strong, 'shall be damned.' Shall be for eternity damned." That's a warning. That's a warning. Do you believe? Now listen, I want you to know this. If you believe, that's because of God. If you don't believe, that's because of you. It will be your fault. You will not blame God for your unbelief. But if you ever have faith, you will give all the glory to God because you believe. Oh, what a good gospel we have. What a great commission we've been given. May God give us as His church a single eye to this one purpose. Preach the gospel. Why? Because He has an elect people. Because Christ died for them. The Spirit will call them. And the means He will use is preaching. Therefore, we give everything we can for the furtherance of the gospel. Pray that God would bless this to your hearts.